as well as the recommendations in brief. Then I will give an opportunity to the members to engage on it, give their inputs and opinions, and after that we will go page per page. So, you know, that is more or less the idea. So we'll give enough opportunity because members only receive it now. So that is the aim of that. Maybe just to indicate, members will see that there is understanding draft 5A. I just want to give an assurance to members that this report was never before in the public domain. So this is the first time this information will come before the committee. So members, let's go then to the report, the Route 201 report. It's a 30-page document.
Sorry, this is yes. I'm a member of Parliament. Can I also get for this?
Can you just maybe ask? Right, Deputy Minister. Honourable members, yes, let's go to page 1. Page 1 is just a brief introduction on the relevant constitutional provisions dealing with the South African Police Service, also how it's structured. We indicate also the role of the President and the role of the Minister. Then we also indicate that the SAPS is governed by the SAPS Act, as well as the relevant standing orders. And then we start on second last paragraph on page 1 with the matter that really initiated this process, the statement by the SAPS POC, dated on the 1st of August. Members also see that it is the quote that that was before the committee. So page 1 is really setting the constitutional and legislative framework. But we will come back to that, you know, for members to give input. Then page 2 is also a factual indication of what happened. The media statement that was issued by the Head of Corporate Communication, who supported it. Then we also indicate that there was also statements by individual commissioners and at least one divisional commissioner. And then we also indicate that there was also a statement by the Divisional Commissioner of Human Resources entitled Hands of General Ria Pierre. Then we indicate also the statement that was issued at that time by the chairperson of the committee, and then also the first engagement that we had with SAPS regarding the BOC statement. So that is just the background. I think all those information is in the public domain, members are aware of it. Then the background, we indicate the constitutional background, the separation of powers. We think it's important that we highlight that. I think a lot of members during the discussions referred to it, so we thought it would be good to include that in the draft report. So the background, page 2, refers to the whole issue of the structure of government, the principle of the three spheres of government, separation of powers, page 3. Also refers to the SAPS Code of Conduct. Members will remember that we also refer to that in detail during the discussions, also when we discussed the matter of the SAPS media policy during the last day of deliberation. So we indicate that. And then we also indicate the concerns of the committee, that the committee was concerned that in a constitutional democracy in which the Constitution is supreme, the top leadership of SAPS, which is accountable to Parliament, has overstepped the mark of separation of powers. Then you give the constitutional reference in 2.1 on page 3 of the reference to the legislature. Then on page 4.2.2, the excerpt from the executive. Then in 2.3, those dealing with the judiciary in, on page 4. Then 2.4 is really setting out the different roles of the role players. The role of the National Commissioner, the role of Minister of Police as the Cabinet Minister responsible for policing, and the fact that the Minister of Police must determine the national policing policy, and then also the role of the National Commission in terms of the Constitution, and also the appointment process, and also the appointment process of the Provincial Commissioners in terms of the MEC's role. So that is just as a background. Then, in terms of our own role and responsibility, colleagues, 3, we deal with the mandate of Portfolio Committee of Police. We refer to the Section 57(1) and 2 of Parliament, and also the determination to make its own rules. We then quote the relevant section in the Constitution on page 5. Then, at the top of page 6, colleagues, we deal with what is the purpose of a Rule 201 inquiry. Remember, it's the first time since 1994 that the Rule 201 inquiry was initiated by a Portfolio Committee. So we also give the background and also indicate what is the relevant issues. Then members will remember that when we resolved to institute this inquiry, we asked 6 questions. And those 6 questions is there. Establish and consider whether the relevant officers were truthful with their testimony presenting the facts leading up to the issuing of said statement. Establish and consider whether documents and electronic material made available to the committee verify the statements made during the said committee meetings. 3. Establish and consider whether the relevant statements were made in compliance with Standing Order 156. 4. Establish and consider whether the relevant conduct by the officers is in line with good governance principles. 5. Establish and consider whether the relevant conduct prejudiced, embarrassed, and discredited the SAPs. 6. Establish and consider whether said statements were aimed at influencing the process by the President in response to the recommendations of the Foreign Commission in relation to the National Police Commission. So that was our broad framework. And then we also refer to Rule 201C in terms of our own process. In 3.2, we deal with the relevant rules from the National Assembly in dealing with such a matter. And also on page 7 in the middle, we also refer again to Section 56 of the Constitution and the role of portfolio committees. Now, in 4, we indicate the events that led up to the decision of the Rule 201. Members will remember that we initially called the Provincial Commissioners to the committee and asked them to retract the statements and also indicate the apology to the President, to the committee, and also give an undertaking that they will never engage in such actions again. We also indicate that all of them signed or apologized except Provincial Commissioner Fraser King. Remember, she came later. And also the Acting Regional Commissioner of Police never attended the Portfolio Committee meeting to ask for an apology. Now, therefore, one refers to the SAPS BO statement on 13 August. Members will remember that is the statement that they issued the day after they had the interaction with us. And there we say on the top of page 8, the BOC issued a second statement on 13 August 2015, which indicated that it apologized for the misinterpretation of the original statement, but did not retract the original statement. In addition, at its meeting held on 18 August, the chairperson of the committee put it to the commissioners to decide whether they stood by the original apology or whether they stood by the second media statement. Some of the commissioners indicated that they stood by the original apology on 12 August 2015, and others indicated that they stood by the apology and second statement issued on 13 August 2015. The view was, I think, most of the members indicated that that statement defied the committee's instruction, and also the demeanor of some of the commissioners who attended the meeting was taken to closing of ranks, and the committee was of the view that it was done with intent. Although there was two, and I think we as a committee must also recognize that, one provincial commissioner expressing discomfort with the statement, that's the provincial commissioner of the Free State, General Pembe, and also the deputy national commissioner for policing, General Sitole, initially sending an SMA supporting the decision and then subsequently raised questions about that. We also give the references in the relevant answer report transcript. And then we indicate also the role of the National Commissioner in that second meeting. And then we also give the quote from the transcript where General Mogale indicated that the National Commissioner was part of the discussion of the second statement that was issued by the BOC. Now, we must then determine that given the fact that the National Commissioner also attended the meeting where the second statement was crafted, makes her role even more concerning, particularly because she is responsible for ensuring that SACs comply with the instructions of the Portfolio Committee. Then we also indicate the process during our discussions with the DOC, and then 28th of August 2015, when we made the decision to go ahead with the 201. So we indicate there the transcript reference as well as the decision. Then on page 9 is just the terms of reference. It's all, I think all members are okay with it, and also the annexure of all the documents that we would study, the objectives of inquiry, we already dealt with that. And then at the bottom of page 9, the documents be considered, as well as the legislation. Then on 10 is also the documents from SAPS, also the reference to the minutes held at Mahuba's Kloof, and the hard copy, as well as the transcripts. Now, very importantly, is a process that we followed as a committee. On page 10, the committee held several meetings in considering the written, oral, and electronic submissions made by SACs in answering the questions posed to it. Firstly, the committee requested the necessary documents from the National Commission of SACs. It should be pointed out that the minutes and the attendance register of the Mahuba's Kloof meeting was classified as a strict and confidential, and the committee asked the National Commission to be classified. She did not respond to the committee in that regard. Members will remember what he then did, because it was a public document, we only made available the specific reference of that minute that has got a bearing on our investigation. The rest of the minute that deals with operational issues, we didn't distribute. Then secondly, the committee analyzed the documents and held meetings on the written, oral, and electronic submissions provided by SAS, and then we deliberated on the submissions. And on the 16th of October, members will remember, there was an analysis of the documents provided by SACs. On the 21st, there was committee-led deliberations on the submissions presented by SACs. 28th October, committee deliberations on the submissions presented by SACs. And on the 4th of November, also committee deliberations. Of course, we can't include all those deliberations and annexes in the report, but of course, it will be like any parliamentary report, be available to any party that wants that. And also, it will also be available to the executive authority in terms of dealing with recommendations. Maybe just to indicate, we also asked for additional information regarding the Mahuba's Kloof meeting, and we also were finished with those documents. Then members will remember that we also went through Standing Order 156. We also indicated the relevant sections. I think Honorable Vele, Honorable Molavazzi, Honorable Maki, all of them refer to those sections. We've included all of them here under 61. That's got reference. Then we indicate on page 12 at the top of 7 that the committee did the deliberations as well as the meetings. 7.1 deals with the BRC statement on the 1st of August, what it indicated. But I think the material fact that comes to the fore is the last paragraph in the 7.1. The committee noted that the Deputy National Commissioner for Resource Management did not sign the statement, and neither did the majority of the Divisional Commissioners. So if you look at the list of Lieutenant Generals and Divisional Commissioners in SACS, it's more than 30-40. The bulk of them didn't sign any statement that got. It was only that limited group that is referred to in the report. Then 7.1 deals with the input from the Ministry of Police. It should be noted that the Deputy Minister of Police, the Honourable M. Sochu, MP, who attended the Portfolio Committee on behalf of the Minister of Police, made it clear that the SACS did not consult the Ministry releasing its statement on 1st of August 2015. In the meeting on 12th August 2015, he confirmed the committee of the following. As per your indicating your request, I need to put it to the committee straight that we as the ministry were never consulted about the media statements that you read from the newspapers, and also not even about the media interviews, radio interviews about the support group. We were never consulted with regard to that. We also give the reference in terms of the answer text. Now, we say that from the input presented by the Deputy Minister of Police, the Honourable M. Sochu MP, it is clear that the BOC clearly decided not to utilise the internal remedies and not to follow the procedures as laid out in Standing Order 156, where they released their statements to the media. We also indicate that at the top of 13, that the SAPs also did not consult with the executive authority with respect to the impact that the statements would have made on members of SAPs by discrediting the leadership and embarrassing the department. Members of the committee were of the opinion that if the situation as alleged by the BOC was a serious claim, and there were talks of mutiny in the ranks as have been reported by the media, the BOC and the National Commission had a duty of care to report to the Minister of Police, and they did not do it. The committee noted that at its meeting on the 12th of August 2015, it instructed the SAPS BOC to retract the statement. The committee has, however, noted that the second media statement released on 13 August 2015 was a direct contravention of the instruction of the committee and had the effect of escalating the matter. Then on 7-2, we refer to the input that was given by the chairperson, and we also indicate there at the last paragraph before 7-3. Secondly, the committee was concerned that the first statement undermined the processes initiated by the President to respond to the Foreign Commission. The committee noted that the first August 2015 media statement was only released 2 weeks after the Makubu Stewart meeting of the BSC and 1 day after the National Commission had to respond to the Honourable President on the findings of the Foreign Commission. Now, on the finding of the first press statement in 7-3, we indicate that at the time of releasing the report, the President required the National Commission to respond no later than 31 July 2015 to the Commission's recommendations. This means that a month had elapsed since the release of the report to the date on which the National Commission submitted a response to the President on the evening of 31 July 2015. Although the statements that were released on 30 July and 1st August report to be responses to newspaper allegations that there is a rebellion or mutiny at senior management level within the SAPS, the statements coincided with the period when the National Commission was being severely criticised in the media as a result of the Commission's findings and recommendations. The committee was of the view that the timing of the first statement on the 1st of August 2015 was timed to place undue pressure on precedent in him considering the responses of the National Commission to the Foreign Commission. The committee raised serious concerns given that the Makubu Stewart meeting confirms the committee's view that the statement was issued to undermine the process of the precedent. We indicate then the four steps that we asked from SAPS. We indicate those members of SAPS management to apologize. Then we come to findings, and most of these findings is taken from the input from members during the deliberations, but of course members, if you want to add, we'll come back to that. 7.1, the committee finds that the press statements were aimed at influencing the public discourse and process by the President in response to the recommendations of the Foreign Commission. The committee finds that by releasing the statement on 1 August 2015, the BOC issued the end to the political terrain, because the date also coincides with the date by which the National Commission was to give the President her response to this letter and why it should not constitute a board for inquiry into a fitness of office. The committee finds that the timing of the release of the statements was designed to place public pressure on the President to sway his decision on the following recommendations. While the meeting of the DOC took place on 15 and 16 July, the statement was only released on the 1st of August 2015, a full 2 weeks after the meeting. At the top of 15744, the committee finds that the SAPS management entered the political terrain by releasing the statement because it was time to influence the process initiated by the President. The committee finds that on 26 June 2015, the SAPS spokesperson Brigadier Maidu issued a statement with respect to the Foreign Commission report. He stated the following: out of respect for the processes outlined by the President, SAPS management has taken a decision that no public pronouncements about the report, its findings and recommendations will be made. In the interim, the management of the police would like to assure the public that policing duties will continue as normal. The committee finds that the statement of the 1st of August 2015 was issued in disregard of Clause 3.4 and Clause 8.4a of the Standing Order 156 in the following respects. The statement had the effect of preempting the process that the President had initiated to respect the Commission's findings and recommendations. The statement had the effect of the DOC expressing support and allegiance to the National Commissioner in circumstances where they had to await the outcome of the process set out above. In addition, the statement was issued in total disregard of the statement issued by the SAPS on 26, 2015 to the effect that it will be made during the process outlined by the President. The committee finds that it is unavoidable to conclude, therefore, that whether such statements were made before the National Commissioner submitted their response to the President or a few hours thereafter, The aim was to confirm the SAP's support, belief and allegiance to the National Commissioner, to the public in general, especially SAP's members, that all the criticisms against her in general, and particularly in relation to conduct surrounding the Marikana incident, were unfounded. Five, it's in the committee's considered view, therefore, that the reading of the two statements, in particular the first statement of the DOC, was aimed at influencing the process by the President in response to the recommendations of the Commission in relation to the National Police Commissioner. Those five paragraphs, we also extracted that from all the input received from all the honourable members during those deliberations. Then, seven, five, that's the DOC statement on 13 August, the second press statement. The BOC statement released by Lieutenant General Mpale on behalf of the BOC on 13 August refers to the interaction between the BOC and Portfolio Committee on the 12th of August. It indicates that the BOC wanted to correct misperceptions following its statement on the 1st of August. Now, members will remember that it states that the BOC distanced itself from allegations of mutiny within the ranks of SACS. I won't go through the rest of it. I think it's all public knowledge. And then in the Portfolio Committee of 18th of August, colleagues will remember we met to consider that specific statement. Colleagues will remember that we indicated that the statement was not what we expected from the SAP members in terms of the repression. In the second paragraph, we indicate that the committee made it clear that it did not agree that the committee had a certain view as captured in the statement and it was incorrect. The committee wanted this perception corrected. Members also asked that the procedures and protocols were for statements to be released by the SAPs and whether they were approved and signed off by the National Commissioner. Members also inquired when the meeting took place and that mandated Lieutenant General Mahali to release the second statement. Given that the BOC Commission attended the Portfolio Committee the day before, it's clear that the second statement deliberately misconstrued the remarks of the Deputy Minister. The committee also noted that there was discomfort with a statement by the Free State Provincial Commissioner and the Deputy National Commissioner for Policing. The overwhelming view of all members of the committee was that the second statement of the BOC clearly and deliberately undermined the committee and it was disrespectful towards the committee. According to members, the second statement was not in keeping with the instruction of the committee to the BOC. Members also took exception to the fact that the second statement included the words, "The BOC would like to engage further on the matter as we believe there is information which the BOC was unable to share." Then we also indicate there the references to the statements by General Mahale. Maybe the fourth paragraph from the top. A concern from the committee was the fact that General Mahale could not so chair the meeting as that was he in out of the meeting. Members were unhappy in the way that he signed or gave an instruction to prepare the other statement. He acknowledged that the National Commissioner was part of the meeting. He indicated that it was not a formal meeting. He also confirmed that the National Commissioner chairs all the meetings of the BOC. The committee inquired whether the National Commissioner participated in the discussion on the press statement in the meeting held in Makubaskur. He confirmed that she was part of the discussions. Members were in agreement that he was not giving the committee clear answers. And then the committee also put it to the commissioners to indicate whether they supported the apology to the committee and whether they stood by the statement issued by Lieutenant General Mahale. Some of the provincial commissioners indicated that they stood by the apology and others stated that they stood by the apology and also supported the second press statement. And we give the reference of the transcript. And at the bottom of 1777, we indicate the meetings that took place, and also that we found in the second line, the committee found that the governance of SAPS was compromised as the second statement was issued with the full knowledge of the National Commissioner, who was present at the meeting, and that drafted the statement issued on the 13th. Then we also refer to the transcript there at the bottom of page 17. At the top of 18, we refer to the action we had with the Gauteng Provincial Commissioner, General Kiba. We indicated that that he had the support of the provincial management team. The committee asked for a copy of the minutes, and then narrated to the committee on the 17th of September, indicated to us that it was not such a formal meeting, and the discussion was informal, and no minutes were kept. Then we also referred to the meeting we had with General Sia, the Divisional Commissioner of Human Resources, in terms of her statement, the answer of General Riabiyaka's statement. We also indicate that she informed the committee that she apologized for the statement.
Then we also referred to the testimony of Jim Bukela, and then also indicate in the next paragraph the committee noted that Jim Magal indicated that the National Commissioner Deepak signed off on the statement. We say that it was in direct contrast to SAP Standing Order 156, which deals with media communication in SAPs. According to the general principles for the Standing Order, management at all levels must continuously bear in mind the media implications of the decision and consult with media liaison officials in developing proactive communication plans. It was clear that the BOC did not take into account the implications of the statements in line with the media policy encapsulated in Standing Order 156. And we also say that we quote here one member of the committee. According to the committee members, the first statement that was issued constituted a threat to the President with respect to the processes initiated by him on the farm recommendations. In the words of the committee member, the Farm Commission had international implications for South Africa and the SAPs, with a statement embarrassed and discredited the SAPs. The statement they sought out threatened the President. They were saying to the President, if you act against the National Commissioner, then you should fire us all. This is a serious aspect of the statement. We quote your member there. Then the committee findings with respect to the second press statement on the 13th of August. The committee finds that the DOC was not truthful about these events in the interaction with the committee. At the top of page 19, 782, the committee finds that the DOC acted contrary to Standing Order 156 and in disregard of the SAS statement of 26-2015. They acted contrary to good governance principles by issuing the statement on 14th of August. The committee further finds that that in the portfolio committee meeting on 18 August 2015, some of the commissioners saw the error of the judgment and stood by their policy, while others stood by a second press statement which reinforced their earlier statement on the 1st of August 2015. The committee finds that in view of the fact that the BEBOC did not consult with the executive authority, when releasing the statement clearly prejudiced, embarrassed and discredited the service. The committee finds that the statements embarrassed the executive authority and the police as a whole. 786. The committee finds the misrepresentation by the SAPS leadership prejudiced the SAPS to the extent that trust between the SAPS and Parliament has been severely compromised as a result. 787. The committee finds that the BOC and senior officers contravened its own code of conduct in releasing the statements. Now, when we come to the Makuba's Curve Board of Commissioners meeting on the 15th or 16th of July, members will remember we spent a lot of time on that transcript. And there was a lot of discussion on it, so we tried also to encapsulate in part 8 of the report the highlights of that. In 8.1, we indicate who attended the meeting. Then we indicate that the minutes states that General Mabuela made a presentation on the subject of Makana and notes the following. The meeting noted that there was never a plan approved in the meeting of the 15th as mentioned in the Marikana report. Then we also indicate they noted the increased negative media report which impacted negatively on the morale of members and the need to encourage members to focus on the full business of fighting crime in the country. Noted that the situation should not be allowed with the report's results in a state where it appears that police crime business has stopped, police must continue. After lengthy deliberation on the negativity of media reports, the provincial commissioners indicated the need to support members who are involved as well as to deal with some of the negative media communication that appears in the media. Note that the national commissioners concerned regarding issues of conflict during the discussion of the matter. The provincial commissioners agreed to meet during lunch to discuss the matter as well as to engage corporate communication to assist. Members remember that is that one extract that detailed from the minutes. Then it should be noted that the National Commissioner raised issues of conflict on issues and from the meeting of the Portfolio Committee on 12 August 2015, General Stoll noted that the Commissioner stated that she was conflicted. General Mukela also indicated that the Commissioner did not take part in the meeting when the statement was discussed. Now, we come to A2, the transcripts of the Makuba's PLC meeting. The transcripts of the Makuba's Curve POC show that the Commissioner did in fact take part in the discussion on the farm recommendations. The transcript of Kashiru shows that the National Commissioner asked why there was silence on the matter. The comments appear to urge the Provincial Commissioners to respond to the media reports as the transcript shows. We also give the transcript, line 12, page 7, the transcript. I'm not going to repeat that. I think it's well known to members. And then the second paragraph before the end of page 20. The transcript revealed that discussion on the Foreign Commission recommendations confirmed that the provincial commissioners were aggrieved by the negative press reports, and they asked the attendant in Mkhali to assist in responding to press reports. An acting provincial commissioner indicated that they have to respect and respond to Palm recommendations and abide by the Constitution. The comments read very close to the constitutional order view of the Parliament Commission's report. General Mkhala indicates that she had a problem with the Parliament Commission from the start and indicated that she was never able to attend the Commission. We also give a reference there. It's important to note that the chairperson of the Khuba Sluit meeting was the National Commissioner, General Vieja. The acting provincial commissioner mentioned the following. General, who were the judges when they were attacked? They stood up. And we have a constitutional which has to be developed between honesty and honor, it's us. The discussion reflected in transcripts cannot be separated from the official minutes which did not capture the emotion of the provincial commissioners. The such leadership clearly see themselves the line between anarchy and disorder in the version of the documents. The minutes show that the provincial commissioners discussed the matter of the statement over lunch. There's no indication that the National Commissioner attended this discussion at lunchtime. The transcript of the meeting of the portfolio committee, we give the reference there, showed that General Mkhala indicated that the National Commissioner was not part of the discussions around the matter of issuing a statement. However, the Makhuba Sluit meeting transcript showed that she participated actively on the discussion on the Foreign Commission recommendations, shared it even though she said she was conflicted. The portfolio committee was also told by General Mkhala that the National Commissioner did not issue an instruction for the release of the press statement. It's quite clear from the Makhuba Sluit minutes and the transcript that the disjunction exists between them and the police commissioners who attended the Makhuba Sluit meeting were less than frank when appearing before the portfolio committee on 12/18/28 August 2015. Now, the committee findings with respect to the BOC and the Makhuba Sluit meeting, the committee finds that the BOC and senior officials misrepresented what happened at the Board of Commissioners meeting with respect to the role of the National Commissioner. The committee finds that the transcripts of meetings considered did not verify what is told the portfolio committee at its meetings on 12/18/28 August. The transcript of meetings showed a different version to that of the minutes produced by the police on the Makhuba Sluit meeting. It showed that the National Commission attended the meeting, chaired the meeting, while discussing the Foreign Commission, while the minutes indicated that she was conflicted. 833. The committee finds that the SAPS management made a full compliment, and we give the misrepresented the facts in the interactions with the committee on the 1st of August about the Makhuba Sluit Board of Commissioners meeting held on 15-16 July. At the top of page 22, 834, the committee finds that the SAPS leadership tried to inform the committee that she played no role in the meeting and that she was convicted. The minutes of the BOC respected this position. Transcripts are showed that the National Commissioner was actively encouraging to speak up in the media. The committee finds that the conduct was in total disregard of the call to refrain from issuing media statements until processes instituted by the President had been concluded. The committee finds that the statements embarrassed the executive authority and the police as a whole. The committee notes that the statements were issued to all SAPS members and finds that in view of the fact that the statements did not discuss the executive authority despite the fact that the SAPS leadership knew that they had local and international implications and impact. The committee finds that the end of the statement was to influence the decision of the President. Even if this were not a direct decision of the BOC, since the statement was released after the National Commission had submitted a response to the President, the President still had to consider a response and only after decide whether she should be subjected to inquiry in terms of Section 9 of the Police Act, as recommended by the Commission. The committee finds that the BOC was therefore inconsistent with the principle that the interested parties should not conduct themselves in a manner that may be perceived as trying to influence the outcome of the process before it has been concluded. Now, we also make certain observations about the role of the National Commissioner, the suspended National Commissioner. According to the Deputy National Commissioner for Corporate Services, the National Commissioner was not present in Makhuba's group at the meeting where the statement was discussed. She also indicated that the National Commissioner also did not issue a statement in that regard. The committee probed the involvement of the National Commissioner in the statement during the meeting. It became clear when they initially questioned about within the meeting, General Mkhali, who admitted to indicate that the National Commissioner attended and chaired the meeting at Makhuba Sluit. Only after the committee probed did he admit that the National Commissioner attended and chaired the meeting. We give also the relevant references. Members will all remember those question sessions. At the bottom of page 22, the Deputy National Commissioner for Policing, General Sitole, reported that the National Commissioner stated that she was conflicted during the discussion. Members of the committee pointed out that while the issue of the forum commission was debated, the National Commissioner was present, chaired the meeting, did not accuse herself despite indicating that she was conflicted. This action on part of the National Commissioner constituted a conflict of interest because the Parliament recommendations directly affected and concerned the National Commissioner and led she took part in response of the SAS. The National Commissioner also took part in the meeting where the secondary statement was discussed. Members of the committee also pointed out that the members of the BOC must have known that she was conflicted but continued with the discussion as pointed out in the report. Members pointed out that this was not in keeping with good governance principles. General Sitole informed the committee that when the SAS realized that the matter escalated to the political level, the SAS asked the National Commissioner to raise it with the Minister. We give the transcript reference. Given that the Foreign Report had international and national implications for South Africa, members pointed out that the National Commissioner could have discussed it with the executive authority. Committee members pointed out that the Deputy Minister reported to the committee that neither she nor the Minister was consulted on the statement that was issued on the 1st of August 2015. Then we proposed committee findings with regard to the National Commissioner. The committee finds that the transcripts also shows that the National Commissioner actively encouraged the police commissioners to respond to their reports and not to cover further under the table. It became clear during the course of deliberations that the National Commissioner urged the commissioners to speak out. She lamented the silence of the SAF senior management in light of the facts from the police. The committee finds that the fact that the National Commissioner chaired the Board of Commissioners meeting that discussed the final report and recommendations, knowing full well that she was the subject of some of the recommendations, was a conflict of interest. The committee finds that the National Commissioner did not refuse herself from the position of the meeting that discussed the recommendations. It is not in keeping with good governance principles. The committee finds that the role of the National Commissioner at Makuba Stuart meeting on 15th to 16th July and the role in the meeting on the 12th of August 2015 was not in keeping with good corporate governance and contributed significantly to the lead in the statements issued by the DOC. Then in 915, the committee finds that the National Commission knew that she was the subject of recommendations by the Parliament Commission but yet participated in meeting of the DOC that had the matter of recommendations on the agenda. She did not excuse herself from the meeting, choosing instead to chair the meeting and ask the commissioners to try to silence on the media facts and assets. At the top of page 24, the committee finds the National Commissioner deviated substantially from the role of an accounting officer, which has a duty of care to ensure compliance with directives from the legal authority and Parliament. She allowed her own interest to become that of the SAPS leadership and did not stop the process when she could have. Instead, she encouraged the provincial commissioners to issue a statement. The committee finds that she must have known that the statements would have impacted on the public discourse on the former recommendations and did not confer with the Minister of Police or Hans Deputy. The committee finds this unacceptable. Lastly, on knowing that the statements would have the effect of entering the political arena, the National Commissioner made no attempt to stop the statements from being released or discussing it with the Executive Authority. Colleagues will remember we had the action of Lieutenant General Mahale. I think a former member of the committee was also involved in that interaction. And 10.1.1. The committee finds that the Lieutenant General Mahale was obstructive, not forthcoming, and deliberately obfuscating questions with him. He was uncooperative with the committee and attempted not to provide the answers to the committee. The committee finds that the role in the interaction and deliberations has been to deliberately mislead the committee as he ordered him to release the statement and views his actions in a serious light. The committee must re-emphasize section 56 of the Constitution in this respect. The committee also finds that contrary to the vision presented by the BOC of an attack and mutiny against SAPS, there was no unity amongst the top echelons of the BOC. One deputy national commissioner did not sign the statement issued by Bruno Mahale, while one provincial commissioner expressed his discomfort with the statement. The committee finds that the distribution of the statements was aimed at canvassing the board for the national commissioner and it was not consistent with the governing principles in police. The committee finds his actions inconsistent with the role of a high-ranking officer of his rank and status in the management issue. Thing two, press statement by individual provincial commissioners and the visual commissioner in CIA. The committee finds that the initial statements by Provisional Commissioners of the North West, Gauteng, Mpumalanga, and statement by the Provisional Commissioner for Human Resources violated the provisions of Stand Order 156 because it prejudiced, embarrassed, and dissuaded the SAPs. The committee finds that these officers did not follow the policy prescripts of the SAPs and release their statements to support the National Commissioner. The committee finds that the Provincial Commissioner of Gauteng was not truthful with the committee on 12 August 2015 when he informed it that the Provincial Management Committee held a meeting to support the statement. Then he takes intent 3, just a lot of input during those deliberations was from members regarding the civilian role of police. We tried to encapsulate that in those three paragraphs. The committee emphasized the importance of the principles of civilian oversight over the SAPs in the Constitution. The committee confirms the importance of adherence by the SAPs to policy prescripts. 10.3.2, the committee views the adherence to directives of the Minister of Police and Parliament as critical to civilian control over the police. The committee notes that the conduct of SAPs must take cognizance of the important principle of civilian control, and SAPs must take guidance from the executive authority when it comes to policing policy issues. 10.3.3, and then it's the important questions, the six questions that we've asked during the process. Were the relevant officers truthful with their testimony in presenting the facts leading up to the issue of the statements? The BOC members who interacted with the committee were not truthful with the committee in presenting the facts as it unfolded in Makuba's Lewis meeting on 15 and 16 August. In their presentation before the committee, the commissioners were failed to explain that the media intervention was divorced from commentary on the Marikana Commission report but merely speaking on policing matters. A statement about the BSC's desire to comment on the policing issue was in essence a need to respond to all parties that had commented on the Commission's report. Their decision to release a media statement arose out of their own frustration that all of Surrey had commented on the Commission's report except the high echelon SAPs. The fact that the National Commissioner considered herself convicted and choosing not to be part of the lunchtime meeting to formulate the media statement is enough indication that the media statement had all to do with the Commission's report and little or nothing to do with the policing issues that were contained in the media statements. At the top of page 26, if the Commission considered, committee's considered view is therefore that the transcript of the meeting of the BOC sets out the truth which the Commissioners were not prepared to acknowledge or own before the committee. The committee further notes that it was an attempt to play down the role of the National Commissioner at this meeting. It appears in the transcript that she was insistent that the BOC breaks its deafening silence and speak out. Then two, whether the documents and electronic material made available to the committee verify the statements made during the said committee meetings. The fact that the National Commissioner considered herself conflicted and choosing not to be part of a lunchtime meeting to formulate a media statement is enough indication, as we indicated previously. The second paragraph, the transcript of the BOC meeting indicates that the media statement was prompted by discussion on the Commission's report, whereas in the presentation before the committee, sought to divorce the media statement from the discussions at the meeting of the BOC, but to say that the media statement was a result of responding to media statements about perceived rebellion and mutiny within SAPs. The conclusion therefore leads inevitably to the conclusion that the officers were not frank and candid when presented before the committee on the question whether the media statement represented the position taken by the BOC in regard to the Commission findings and recommendations. Was the relevant press statements made in compliance with the Standard Order 156? The statement of 1 August 2015 was issued in disregard of Standard Order 156 in the following respects. The statement had the effect of preempting the process that the President had initiated in respect of the Commission's findings and recommendations. The statement had the effect of the BOC expressing support and allegiance to the National Commissioner in circumstances where they had to await the outcome of processes initiated by the President. In addition, the statement was issued in total disregard of the statement issued by the SAPs on June 26, 2015 to the fact that it will be made during the process outlined by the President. Then in 4, is the relevant conduct by the officers in line with the governance principles? The BOC acted contrary to Standing Order 156 and disregard of the SAPs statement of 26 June 2015, they acted contrary to the governance principle by issuing a statement on the 1st of August 2015. The conduct was in total disregard of the court's refrain from issuing media statements until processes instituted by the President had been concluded. Then at the top of 27, did the conduct by the officers prejudice, embarrass, and discredit the SAPs? The committee is of the opinion that both decisions of the court have been an effort to reassure the members and the public that the SACS was continuing to do what it's required to do in terms of the Constitution and the Police Act despite the findings and recommendations of the Commission. Indeed, this intervention may have been to reassure the members who were involved in the Marikana incident and those who have might be in the court to act in similar situations. The effect of the conduct is that it was embarrassing to SACS which had been released a statement that they were shown no comment on the Commission until all processes under the command of the Executive had concluded. It's the Commission's considered view, therefore, that the SACS remains embarrassed by this conduct because it contradicted its own statement that there should be no public pronouncement regarding the Commission report. Then finally, was the press statement's aim at influencing the process by the President and response to the recommendations of the Farm Commission in relation to the National Police Commissioner? The first paragraph, DOC's conduct was inconsistent with the principle that an interested party should not conduct themselves in a manner that may be perceived as trying to influence the outcome of the process before it has been concluded. On the reading of the transcript of the DOC meeting of 15 and 16 July 2015, it's clear that the commissioners were deeply aggrieved and there have been no response to delegations made in the press and by commentators regarding the ability of SACS to function regarding the National Commission's business and propriety to continue in position. The media statement that had been prepared during lunchtime was not released immediately, but only the day after the National Commission had submitted a response to the President. This might be because the DOC was adhering to the SACS statement of 26 June 2015 that no public pronouncements about the report, its findings and recommendations will be made. However, this does not address the difficulty that after the National Commission has submitted a response, the President still remains to consider what course of action to take in response thereto. The media statement of 1st of August 2015 was therefore preemptive of its decision still to be taken. If the committee's concerned view, therefore, that the issue of the two statements was aimed at influencing the process by the President in response to the recommendations of the Commission in relation to the National Police Commissioner. Now, colleagues will come to the recommendations. Colleagues will then see that the recommendations is in line with a mandate of the Portfolio Committee. We do recommendations to the Executive, and it's up to the Executive to accept or not accept it, and that's really also the approach to ensure that we as a part of the legislature fulfill our role in that regard. So in 11.1, the committee recommends that the relevant executive authority consider the appointment of boards of inquiry to inquire into the conduct of the relevant provincial commissioners and acting provincial commissioners who declare their support for the suspended national commissioner in a statement on the 1st of August 2015 and a second statement on 13 August 2015 or in other appropriate states. Then the committee recommends that the relevant executive authority consider appropriate steps in relation to the conduct of the two national commissioners, one acting divisional commissioner and one divisional commissioner who declared the support for the suspended national commissioner press statement dated 1 August 2015 and a second DOC statement dated 13 August 2015. Then the committee recommends that the relevant executive authority consider appropriate steps in relation to the conduct of the Divisional Commissioner for Human Resources who declared their support for the suspended National Commission in a statement on 30 July 2015. Then the committee recommends that the relevant executive authority consider appropriate steps in relation to the conduct of the head of corporate communication. Just a moment, I just want to stop there. On Mkhonko, welcome. We just came to see if we don't have another copy of the report. Yeah, we are a bit low on copies, but maybe if you can join forces there with Mkhonko, for read them, we'll see what we can do. Maybe just to go back to the back to the recommendations, 11.4. The committee recommends that the relevant executive authority consider appropriate steps in relation to the conduct of the head of corporate communication, who issued the statements that 1st August 2015 and 13 August 2015, declared his support for the suspended national commissioner in a statement on the 1st of August 2015, and attempted to mislead the committee on 28 August 2015. 11.5. The committee recommends that the relevant executive authority consider the appointment of a board of inquiry in relation to the conduct of the suspended national commissioner in relation to the process of leading up and issuing of the DAC statement dated 1 August 2015 and the second statement dated 13 August 2015 or any other appropriate action. B11.6, the committee recommends that the relevant executive authorities report back to the committee on any other steps by 15 January 2016 that they have taken with regard to the above mentioned recommendations or any other steps flowing from the said committee report. Then, honourable members, page 30 is just a timeline of the events, just to give also members a historic perspective since we started with the process, just to ensure that it's completed. So, members, that in a nutshell is the draft report that is before the committee. I will allow general input now, just comments, and then we will go page by page. Because I just want to allow members opportunity to speak.
Honourable Bailey. Yeah, I think it's just to reflect that the report seems very good, quite comprehensive, and captured the main inputs, certainly the ones that I recall having made from my side. So much appreciation to the secretariat for having weaved together, as they did, the detailed inputs on it when we do the page-by-page review.
Thank you for your input. Honourable Mabija.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would also like to indicate that the ANC fully endorses the report, and we believe that the police should at all times adhere to the principle of civilian control and parliamentary oversight. Again, if anything controversial comes up, the police management should get the guidance from the minister. And again, the police management should at all times act within their boundaries as the Constitution upholds.
Thank you, other members. Honourable Nabati, and then Honourable White Sheikh. Honourable Shlomo, Honourable Senegal.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Yes, in addition, the ANC supports the draft report. We are of the view that civilian control over the police services by the regulatory services in Parliament is non-negotiable. Expect from the regulatory authorities to study the report and give necessary considerations to our recommendations. We need a professional police services with a competent leadership that is trusted by the public, Parliament, and the executive. The draft report is a clear indication that the Portfolio Committee on Police takes its work seriously. We also want to thank those Deputy National Commissioners, Divisional Commissioners, and other senior officers who, under huge pressure, did not join those who issued statements. This committee takes note of those and should be commended for their commitment to their republic and the police services. We also believe that the new acting national commissioner have the necessary skills and experience to guide us during this challenging time. Thank you.
Honourable Mikishek.
Thank you, Chair. Let me start off by thanking the committee for this comprehensive report. I think it clearly outlines what has taken place, the challenges that we face, and the recommendations accordingly. In my view, on behalf of National Freedom Party, what I have identified is that was clearly an intention here to undermine every other authority. In fact, I think for me it sounded a little worse than we may appear to make it look like. It's like holding the country to ransom. This isn't my understanding, and this is the understanding. In terms of the one aspect where I know the lunchtime report was drawn up, I'm never convinced that even though the commissioner may not have been present, that she did not have anything to do with it, and for that reason it was only released the day after. In any case. And having heard and called the reports and having deliberated to a certain extent, it is clear some of the Serb officials have been deliberately even appearing before the committee and trying to be evasive and preventing and not answering the questions and giving us a clear indication of what has happened. But my concern is that, and the recommendations here for me are perfectly in order, and I think that we should push forward to this. My only concern is given the circumstances of some of these people and the role that they have played and the reports that have come forward and what we have identified only as a result of interrogation, not because it came from them, can we still have the trust and confidence? Confidence in community has now eroded to an all-time low in terms of trust in thefts. Can we then still trust and have confidence in these people holding office, those positions while this inquiry is going to take place? That is my concern. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honourable Sungur.
No, thank you very much, Professor. I think the summary of the report clearly indicates the concerns that were raised by all of us as members of this committee. So, on my part, on our part, particularly as EFF, we definitely would like to endorse this report, open of the fact that members of the service will at all material times be able to be guided by the constitution of the country, which guarantees life, right to life of our people, and also a right of our people to live under a very peaceful environment, which police have every authority to ensure, but under the circumstances of such collusion, it really worries everybody that we might get serious things happening, as I've raised. I'm sure maybe it's a person you will get even my area of concern with regard to the developments, even in case that where you don't get honesty from the side of members of the police in terms of squashing of violent acts, with uncovering one another in the wrongdoing of things. I think it will definitely send that message a person to say they need not to collude over wrong things. They must be able, even if it is one of them in their own ranks, to stand by the laws of the country and ensure that they defend nothing else but the constitutionality of our country, so that our democracy can actually be then well defended. With those two words, then thanks very much for such a comprehensive report, and I think it makes a great deal of sense. Hopefully that the struggles that will take this process forward will also endeavor to do their utmost best in ensuring that we stand the authority as guided by, as demanded of us by the Constitution and the oath that we made before the people of the country. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Honourable Sungur. Honourable Sungur.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I want to start to say I agree with my honourable colleagues. I think it's a good report, and I have expressed myself very clearly on the whole issue that was totally unacceptable. I also want to thank the people who compiled the report. I think technically it's a good report, but there is, however, one technical point, Chairperson, I have some questions on. Firstly, if we look at the report, and if we look at the Rule 201, which give the powers to the Portfolio Committee to do any investigation, I'm not so sure what happens first. We make recommendations. Because if I look at Section 8 of the South African Police Service Act, Section 2A says, if a provincial commissioner has lost the confidence of the Executive Council, the member of the Executive Council may notify the minister of such occurrence and the reason therefore. Then it says the minister shall, if he or she deems it necessary and appropriate, refer the notice contemplated in paragraph 8 to the National Commissioner. And then further it says the National Commissioner shall, upon the receipt of the notice, establish a board of inquiry consisting of no more than 3 persons, etc., that will investigate the matter. Now my question on a technical point here, because we can't go through all we went through, and then on a technical point, we have a problem. Because according to Section out of the Police Act, it says a member of the executive. I don't see in the rules that Parliament is seen of, he's not the executive. So my question is, yes, at least I would see, because if you look at Rule 201 and you look technically at subparagraph B1C, it says it may monitor, investigate, inquire and so on, and then D, it says may consult in liaison with any executive organ of state or constitutional institution. And then it said must perform other functions, tasks and duties assigned to it in terms of the constitution or by resolution of the assembly. Now my question is, chairperson, I support the report. Freedom Front Plus will support that. But what happens now? That is very, very important. Are we going to get a resolution from the National Assembly so that we are technically correct? Thank you.
Well, maybe just to do that now, yes. It's a normal committee report. It will be published in the ATC, hopefully very soon, very quickly. And then, you know, we'll get an opportunity in the end. It's a normal process. It's a normal process. Honourable Makango, anything on your side?
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. My apologies for walking in late. I am still looking at the report, but it looks very good. But I will reserve my comment at this end.
Thank you very much. Honourable Makango.
Thank you, Chairperson. Are we dealing with the overall comment?
The overall comment before we go page by page, overall comments made us with the
according to, well, it is, if it's the norm, but according to what I gathered from my colleagues is that we don't even need to go page by page. Okay, thank you.
Please, you're welcome.
Thank you, Chair. I think my colleagues have said a mouthful and the report confesses, and I'm glad about the report. It's not like I can say that.
Thank you very much. Any other colleague who wants to make general comments at this stage? Nobody? Right, thank you very much, members, for the comments. Let's then go page for page. In terms of maybe spelling errors, any factual issues, style, additions, please, you are always welcome. We'll go to page 3, page 1. Maybe we at this stage will have to delete draft, if it's the final report, so in the heading, draft will go away, and draft 5A will also be deleted. I'll allow about a few minutes per page to give members, if there's anything that they want to raise, they're very much welcome. 4 minutes.
Honourable Figueroa? No, Chair, you can make a 30 seconds. We went through it, and we discussed it before, so in a certain sense, well, not the reporting is complete.
Yeah.
I want to be a bit naughty to ask which report you referring to, the one in the newspapers or this one, but...
there's a saying in English, the proof is the pudding, and this report is different from any other report I've seen out there. Quite different.
I see one in the newspaper status.
Right, page 1, everybody happy? Can we go to 2?
Sorry, Chair, can I just say, I accept that somebody will go through it thoroughly to ensure that the spelling is correct, because I'm not going to read each and every word to look at spelling more that sort of
thing. This was a lot of attention given, but before it's tabled, you know, under the ITC, of course, the necessary will be done. Can we go to page 3? Is members happy with 2? Yeah, I think very straightforward, unless there's spelling errors or wrong quotes, members, just please indicate. Then we go to page 4. That's just the quotations from the Constitution. So, If 4 is 1, we can go to 5. Anything on 6? Can we go to 7? Can we go to 8? So we were happy with 7. Okay, can we go to 8? Just see in the annexure 8.4 after Lieutenant General there's a full stop. It must just be deleted.
Established to consider whether the statements were influenced, sorry, were aimed at influencing, because that's referring to plural statement. Yeah.
Thank you very much. We will amend page 9 accordingly. Thank you for that honourable member. Right, so there's 2 amendments on page 9. Can we go to 10?
So on page 10, section C, I'm just wondering if that number 4 is correct. Did we actually look at the minutes of the committee meeting, or was it just the transcripts?
That's not transcripts, correct?
Yeah, because I think number 4 doesn't didn't reach out.
Thank you. It's just the 4, so we move on to page 10. Anything else about spin? Page 11.